have a subject I would like to talk about that I feel like is can really, if we really get a hold of it for our own individual selves, it will really help us be successful in many things in life. And ultimately, we want to be successful as a Christian. And so I'd like for all of us to try to pay attention, especially the children too. I think it would be good for us all to, because what I want to talk about is being willing and obedient. So I'd like to begin in the book of Isaiah in the first chapter, and we're going to maybe be a little laborious or tedious about our foundation this morning. So bear with us as we read several verses. We're going to start in verse 2. It says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Receive the relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." So what's he talking about? If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. So we're going to look at this a little bit. Notice in verse 7 that we read, he says, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." So they were living in their homeland, but things weren't going good. And I read a lot of stuff here, and a lot of illustrations are painted for our minds here to realize how bad things were. And he said to them, In verse 18, he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet," though they be very, very vivid, and something that is just stands out like we cannot deny how obvious they are. It's very obvious that the children of Israel were not enjoying life, all right, at this point. But he says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So he's offering them an opportunity for something different than they're experiencing right now. And if we're experiencing something that we don't really like, many times we are looking for something to come in and make things different from a long ways off. You know, it's kind of like hoping that you'll win the lottery, or hoping that you will get a check in the mail, or somebody will come in and say, "You know, I've been noticing, I think you need a new house. Why don't you, we built a new house over here for you." Now, all of that would, it'd be like, wow, this really helps me out, doesn't it? But many times, right there in our land where we live, our little lives, whatever they include, many times there's a lot of good there, and we've been ignoring it. And we've allowed things to come in and contaminate it to where it's destroyed our happiness and it's destroyed our peace. It's destroyed the things that we really want. And we think if somebody would only come and lift me out of this and put me in a good place instead of the yucky place, that everything would be better. And he said, just stop just a minute. Let's think about this. This is what he's saying to the Israelites. He said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll be able to eat the good of the land. Did you know there can be good right there where you're at? Right at your age bracket. I know what it's like to live in a time when I felt like I was just at the wrong age. I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. I wasn't old enough. Whatever. I know what it's like to be there. I remember how bad I wanted to be older so I could do certain things. And now I want to be younger so I could do some things. You know, it's just never, you're just never at the perfect time in life. But there has been good at every age of my life. If I would be willing and obedient, I could enjoy that good. And it would be a blessing to me. In every one of my circumstances that I found myself in life, I've either bemoaned, I wished I could be somewhere different, or I wish things were different, and I can get all down in the mouth, so to speak. But really, if I would take control, with the Lord's help, of my life, there's good in that land. That place that I'm at right then, there is good there. So, I believe our level of satisfaction in life is conditional on this principle and how much we'll put it in practice. All right? Of being willing and obedient. I also want you to know that I believe that the opportunity to make things right with the Lord extends all the way up until the very end, as long as there's life. But I want you to know that God has something special for us at the age that we're in. I believe the Lord has the good of the land in mind for us. And if we will incorporate the principle that's in this verse of being willing and obedient, there's going to be some good that we didn't even realize was possible. So I'd like for us to go back now and think about how they got in the place that the prophet Isaiah would even write something like this to them. Okay? Because I believe that there's a lot of factors that hinder us from being both willing and obedient. I believe that there are times that people have been and are willing, and I think that there are and not obedient, and there's also times that people are obedient, but they're unwillingly obedient. And I want to tell you, that's not the recipe for success. There's some benefits that comes from being willing, and there's some benefits that come from being obedient, but I'm going to tell you, when you put the two of those together, it becomes exponential to the blessing that comes along with it. So I'd like for us to look back now in the first verse of the first chapter of Isaiah. Notice what it says. It says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." Now, these were consecutive kings in the land of Judah. Uzziah was Jotham's dad, and Jotham was Ahaz's father, and Ahaz was Hezekiah's father. And each one of them, at the end of their life, at the end of their reign as king, the next one was anointed king over Judah, okay? And so I read a little bit, and you can go and read there. I think it's 2 Chronicles, about this. And the first one, Uzziah, he was the king that the scripture says he did the things that were right in the eyes of the Lord. And at one time, he had a military, an army of 307,500 soldiers, and over them was 2,600 mighty men of valor that were like the sergeants or the generals in his military. Now, I don't know how many people are enlisted in our military today in our United States, but I'm going to tell you, 307,500 soldiers is a lot. That's more than lives in Joplin and Webb City and Carthage and Orinoco and Jasper and Alba and Neck City and all of those other little places around here, all added up. And you might be able to throw Springfield in there with them before you could get to 307,000. Now, we're just talking about people. But these were soldiers. These were trained, armed, equipped soldiers. And there was 2,600 that were the leaders of the different sections of that military. And he was so adept at being victorious in battle, this King Uzziah, that did the will of the Lord, that the foreign nations around there paid honor and tribute to him, and they even applauded him for his great military success, even if they might have been classified his enemies. Right? And he did one thing that was wrong. He got lifted up in his successes that the Lord had blessed him with, and he went in and tried to do one of the tasks that was the priest's job in the temple. He tried to offer incense himself. And because he did that, the Lord allowed leprosy to come on him, and he died a leper. And his son, Jotham, took over being king after him. And it's the scripture says, well, I'll just tell you that the scripture says about Uzziah that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Good king, right? Somebody, I don't want to, you know, I'd like to have a president like that. And then because he got lifted up and he got feeling like he could do the same job as the priest, because he was king, you know. And the Lord allowed leprosy to come on him, and his son came on board as the king after him. And the scripture says he did the things that pleased the Lord. He did the right things, but it says he did not go into the house of the Lord. That's a mistake. When we make a conscious decision, not because we just can't physically do it, but when we make a decision, I'm going to still try to do the right thing, but I'm just not going to attend worship service. You know, that's a mistake. And it was a mistake on Jotham's part. And when he did that, it says he wouldn't go into the house of the Lord. I wonder, why did he not go? Was he offended? Well, my dad got leprosy because he went in there. Well, he was trying to do something that God didn't told him he couldn't do, you see. But I don't know why he didn't. He says, the scripture says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. You know, if the leader doesn't set the right pattern, the people will start falling away. And that's what happened. The consequences of his actions led the people to become corrupt. And when he died, his son became king, and his son's name was Ahaz. That's the third one in the list at the first verse of the first chapter of Isaiah. And he didn't follow the Lord. He did the things that the kings of Israel did. And I want to show you how quickly, this is the third king now, second king after Uzziah. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 1 through 4. 2 Chronicles 28, if I can get there. So, Isaiah was writing, I believe, possibly during the time, or maybe towards the end of Ahaz's reign. And I think you'll see why I said that. Because Isaiah was saying, you're not eating the good of the land. There's some things here that's not going right. I don't want you to just offer some sacrifices and bring some in. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be willing and obedient so you can eat the good of the land. It's right there in front of you. This is the promised land that I brought you out of Egypt to. And you have started living and conducting yourself in a manner that I can't be there with. I just won't be there. I won't bless you over the top of all of your misbehavior and all of the choices that you've made. But listen to what Ahaz did. Uzziah was someone that honored the Lord, and the Lord prospered him, right? And this is his grandson. Now listen to what he did. Ahaz was 20 years old. Verse 1, chapter 28, 2 Chronicles. He was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he burnt his children. Do you hear that? He burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He was very wicked. He done a lot of idolatrous things. And the Lord was telling the people through Isaiah, I can't bless you. I can't help you because you've allowed strangers. And the consequences of this was instead of the Jewish nation being one that the others esteemed and revered and respected and honored, they began to come and do battle with them and overcome them and infiltrate. And the Jewish people during his reign ended up paying tribute to other people. When in Uzziah's reign, they're the ones getting tribute. You know what tribute is? Tribute is what a conquered nation pays to those that conquer them. All right? It's kind of like because you lost the battle, now you have to pay us every year. We're going to tax you. All right? So during Ahaz's reign, the whole morale of the nation went down. And he just kept reaching out after more and more wickedness. And he started offering sacrifices to the gods of the Assyrians or the Syrians. I can't remember which it was. If you read the whole 28th chapter, because their gods was helping them, so he thought their gods would help him. And it says they didn't. It didn't work that way. He was trying to worship something that God said don't do. Second generation past Uzziah, the one that had such a strong military, that had such a strong respect for the Lord. And here Ahaz is a horrible failure. I want to read you something else that he did. I want to go down to the 24th verse. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. You know what he just did? He sabotaged the vessels that were used in the worship of God, and he closed the doors. And he didn't just close them for the night, he sealed them up. All right? So I believe it was probably during this time that Isaiah wrote to them or recorded this. He spoke to the people, I believe. But I believe it was during this time that he said, go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers are devoured. There's people that has come in and they are infiltrating your country and they are causing havoc. And you're not being able to enjoy the good of this land that's really yours. And it's overthrown by strangers. I believe Isaiah probably wrote these words during this time period. And then Hezekiah came along. We can read about him. You know, he was a good king, wasn't he? Everybody know that? Hezekiah came in after Ahaz, his father, died. Hezekiah was made king, and he was about 25 years old. And without turning and reading it, I'll just tell you that one of his first things that he did was open the doors of the temple and repaired the vessels so that they could begin to worship the Lord again. And the scripture says he done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? Now I want us to get back to the point. I wanted to get us hold of how dysfunctional the Jewish nation was at the time that Isaiah wrote, the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. Now, do you remember a story in the New Testament? It's a parable that Jesus told, I believe, in Matthew, the 21st chapter. Let's turn there, and I want to read beginning verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, and beginning in verse 28. He says here, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. You ever had a child like that? I've been told that I told my parents that one time. I don't know if I told them the second time, but I told them that one time. And I don't think it was really a good thing for me to say. But this son said, I will not. He wasn't willing, was he? But afterwards, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Now I want us to stop and think about it just a minute. Isaiah said, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. And the first son in this parable was not willing. Is that right? But he was obedient in the end. The second son was willing. He said, I go, sir. He was even respectful and willing. That's two good pluses, isn't it? But he didn't do it. So he was disobedient. He was willing, but disobedient. Now, you just hypothetically, put yourself in the place. What would you do as the father? You got two sons. One of them said, I will not. And then he felt bad about it, and he went and did what his father asked him to do. And the other one said, I'll go. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, daddy. And he didn't do it. Now, I think both of them needed discipline. I think both of them needed instruction. But how? To me, it's real complicated. It's hard to discipline somebody that did something that you told them to do. But their willingness, their attitude towards being willing was not right. Okay? And the other one that was willing, he said, I'll go, I'll do it. Yes, Dad, I'll be happy to do it for you. I love you, Daddy. And didn't do it. Now, there's dishonesty involved here. There's a lot of things involved. And it needs some adjustment, right? But the difference here is, Isaiah said, the willing and obedient. So I want us to get a hold of how powerful willingness and obedience, when they're coupled together, is. All right? Willing. I'd like for us to turn to a verse. Somebody's going to have to help me because my printer didn't print this off. It's a verse that says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. I believe this is in 2 Samuel. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. So 1 Chronicles 28, beginning in verse 9, he says here, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. This is David speaking to Solomon. He says, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And there's another verse, it's on down in the chapter, it says, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and with thee for all manner of... And then another verse says, Okay, and be the 21st verse, 28th chapter. And behold, the courses of the priest and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Now, so David is talking to Solomon about Solomon being willing, but he also said, you're going to have others. You're going to have the priest, you're going to have the Levites, you're going to have all of those that are skillful, that they're going to be willing to help you. If you're willing, they'll be willing. Did you ever notice that if you have one child that's willing, that it can be contagious and others become willing? You know, it works that way when you're working with livestock too. If you've got one cow that's willing to get in the trailer or go in the pen or go through the gate, there'll be someone else that's willing. If you can just get the first one to go in, the rest of them think it's a good idea too. And you know, if we will be willing, that's a starting point. Willingness. I'm willing to go. I'm willing. I have a desire to be pleasing. All right? In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, I want to notice what it says here in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So it's imperative that we have a willingness. The Apostle Paul says that's the place to begin. That's first. If we'll be willing, a willing mind, it's except, you know, we can get by many times with less than perfect capabilities if we're willing. You ever notice that? Even in the job situation, there are times that a willing person can get more things done and more accomplished and have more approval if they're willing than somebody that might have more skill or more capability that's unwilling, that's difficult and hard to get along with. So the Apostle Paul says, if there be first a willing mind, that's the first step, that's the beginning step in being able to enjoy the good of the land, the place that you're at right now, whether it's your age or your circumstances. And it's difficult sometimes to look around and think, I'll never be anything different than what I am right now. But I'm going to tell you, with the help of the Lord, we can. But we have to be willing first. Willing first. All right? Another verse I want us to look at in the Old Testament says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord, it's where Samuel is talking to Saul. He's talking about, yes, it says, delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. First Samuel chapter 15. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now here's where God had told Saul through Samuel. Samuel had went and told him, this is what the Lord told me to tell you. I want you to go out and destroy the Amalekites. And I want you to destroy all of them. And Saul didn't do that. He destroyed most of them, but he saved some of the livestock, and he saved the king and maybe some of the king's family. Anyway, he wasn't fully thorough in following. He wasn't completely obedient. Have you ever done something that your parents told you to do, or at least most of what they told you to do? Maybe you done, maybe you went through the motions, and maybe you did, you picked up all of the dirty clothes except the stuff that was under the bed. You know, maybe you washed all of the dishes, but there was some of them that was left on the, you know, on the back of the counter or something like that. And you didn't wash all of them. I remember one time that my mother sent me out to do something I didn't like to do. And I've told this story before, but I believe it fits here. She sent me out to vacuum out the car. And she sent me out with her big old Electrolux vacuum cleaner. It was this canister thing with a big long hose on it. And I spent time out there vacuuming out the car. And I do believe that the car had carpet in it that was a predecessor to Velcro. Because there was all kinds of little tiny specks. It was a blue car with a blue carpet, and my mother thought it was the most beautiful car in the world, and she took really good care of it. And I was vacuuming this carpet out, and probably my brother and I had spiral notebooks and had ripped out pages in there, and you know those little tiny flecks of paper that comes off, and they were stuck in the carpet in various places. And I went out there, and I honestly did obey her. I vacuumed the car out. But I wasn't really concerned about getting all those little specks up. I would just run the vacuum over it. You know what I'm talking about. You can sweep, and then you can sweep to clean. You know what I'm saying? So I just vacuumed. I did that. And I know I sucked up some dirt and some big stuff. And my mother, I came in and I said, I'm all done. And my mother said, let me go check it. So I don't know why she was suspicious. I really don't. But she went out there and checked it, and she said, it's not good enough. You're going to have to do it again. So I vacuumed it again. And that wasn't good enough either. I went through the motions of being obedient, all right? Saul went through the motions of being obedient, but he didn't do it all. And my mother came out there and said, this was the third time I had to vacuum it. She said, I want all of those little specks out of the carpet in my car. And I finally got them all. I didn't like that job. You know, a lot of times the obedience of being thorough with what we are expected to do is where the pain comes in. It's easy to say, yes, I'll do it. Oh, I want to please you. I want to make you happy. I want to do all those things. I want to please the Lord. Obedience. I'm not sure. Well, yes, I tried. How much did you try? Were you thorough with what God told you to do? Was I thorough? It's a time for us all to really, I'm going to tell you, this is powerful when we're willing and obedient. And Saul was willing because he went and engaged in battle, so he had to be willing, right? And he was obedient because he killed a bunch of them. He pretty much wiped out the Amalekites, but he saved the king. Now, why would you save the leader? I'd think you'd want to take him out first. But anyway, that's beside the point. We, many times, are obedient to a point. And Saul was obedient to a point. And he was reprimanded by Samuel, and it had a severe consequence. He said, the Lord don't want you to be king any longer. We're not going to read that verse. But that was the end result, because he was not obedient. Isaiah told the people of Israel, it's like the whole thing is turned over to strangers. Your whole countryside, it's in an uproar. I don't want your sacrifices and all of those things. I want you to be willing and obedient. You got to change some things and be particular about following through with my commands. You're worshiping idols. You can't worship me and idols at the same time. It don't work that way. You got to be willing and obedient to do the will of the Lord. And today we have to be willing. I want to please the Lord. I want His blessings on me. I believe you do too. So to get there, to be able to eat the good of the land, I need to be obedient. I've got to couple that together. Willing and obedient, you see. In Psalms, the 15th Psalm, I'd like to go there. I use this passage a lot, and because I think it's good. And maybe if you don't get anything out of our ministry, you'll get this. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now listen, what it takes to be able to gain access to that and be able to dwell in the Lord's presence. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he that honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now there's a lot of things to be obedient on right there. It's one thing to be willing and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I want to be in your presence. I want to dwell in your holy hill. I want to dwell in your tabernacle. I want to be with you. I'm willing. And then he says, you got to walk uprightly. You got to work righteousness in your life. You got to speak the truth. Where? In your heart. That's what it says. Not just from your mouth, but in your heart. Backbiteth not with his tongue, nor do evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is contemned, someone that detests evil. Not just saying, well, I'd never be doing that, but you're peeking out the window to see what they're doing, thinking it sure be nice to do that. No, that's not what he's talking about. To be obedient is someone that detests that. Lord, have mercy on those people over there. I wish they'd see the light and be doing something different. That's very displeasing to the Lord. All right? Obedience has inherent blessings for its own sake. You know that? If you do something because you know it's the right thing to do, do you know there's a level of blessing or benefit from that? But the real blessing, the real benefit, is when it's coupled with willingness. It's kind of like doing what you know the boss wants you to do, or know what your parents want you to do, or know what the instructor wants you to do, but you really don't want to do that. Obedience, there's a level of blessing that comes with that. But to be willing and obedient just takes that to a much higher level. Okay? So I'd like to talk just a little bit now, not just about willing and not just about obedient, but I'd like to talk about willing and obedient. You know, there's a book in our Bible, and it's named after a man, and it has a story of a very short period of time of this man's life. We don't really know much about him before or after. This man's name was Jonah. So, the story started. Everybody know the story of Jonah? Jonah started out not being willing, right? But after he found out that he didn't have a choice, he became willing. After he got swallowed by a fish, He said, I'm willing, Lord. I'll go. And after the fish spewed him out on the ground, out on the dry land, and he went, and he was obedient. The Lord told me to do this, and I'm going to do it. Get the bit in his teeth, and he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. He told the people of Nineveh, yet 40 days, I think it is, and this place is going to be destroyed. God's going to wipe it off the face of the earth. And I don't believe he had any kind of hope for them at all. He just told them the truth. I mean, he preached it hard to them. And he went from one end of the city to the other, and he was obedient. He crossed all of his T's, he dotted all of his I's, and he knew the reason he was there is because a fish swallowed him and spit him out on the ground. And these people need to know that God was serious and he meant business. And the people said, this guy is preaching with conviction. Let's begin to repent and put sackcloth and ashes on, and peradventure, maybe God would change his mind about us. And when God didn't destroy Nineveh because they repented, Jonah wasn't real happy, was he? Was he obedient? Yes, he was obedient. Was he willing? Yes, when he was pretty much forced to be willing. Did he receive much of a blessing out of that? Nope. You know, Jonah did not go in and embrace the king of Nineveh and say, I'm so glad the Lord had mercy on you. Isn't it wonderful to really honor God and really come around and realize that he is the king of all the earth? Jonah didn't have it in him. Why? Because he wasn't really willing and obedient coupled together. He was performing out of his willingness was because he didn't have any other option. You know, if we told you that we were going to have macaroni and cheese for lunch, or you can have cheese and macaroni, which one do you want? You know, they're going to have much of an option there if that's the only two options. And that's pretty much, you know, Jonah was afraid not to go because he didn't know what else might be on his road back home. He knew that to get there, he got swallowed by a fish. And if he didn't do that after he got out on dry land, there might be something else that would eat him. So he became willing. And we can become willing like that too. But it's something more than that, all right, that God wants us to get a hold of. All right? Think about another man in the New Testament. Somebody's going to help me find this verse. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore it fourfold. You know, there's a man that was willing and obedient. You believe Zacchaeus followed through and was obedient to whatever the Lord asked him to do? I believe he was. You know, good Lord willing, when I get to heaven, and I know the Lord's willing for us to be there, I believe there'll be somebody by the name of Zacchaeus there. And whether I know him by name or not, and I don't know if he'll still be a man that's short of stature like he was when he was here, but I believe there will be a happy soul in eternity. There is right now, I believe, because he was willing and obedient. And he began to eat the good of the land. And I believe today, if we will be willing and obedient, right there where we live, where we think is utter chaos and desolation and all of that, I believe right where we're at, whether it's a spiritual thing or a temporal thing or whatever it is, I believe the Lord will help us be able to have the good of the land. And then I think it's in St. John, the 13th chapter, I want to turn to. And some words of Jesus. It's 13 or 14. Maybe I've got the wrong book. It's where Jesus said he went to pray and he said, Lord, if there's any way this can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Matthew what? Matthew 26 and he says here in verse 39, he says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. So Jesus came to the place that he was willing. And was he obedient? He was obedient, wasn't he? He went all the way to the cross for me and for you. And the most powerful example of being willing and obedient that I think we have in all of the world and in all the scripture is of Jesus being willing and obedient. You know, Jesus' story is a far cry better than Jonah's story, isn't it? You see, there was something that was accomplished by Jonah's ministry, but it doesn't have the impact that Jesus' ministry has. Jesus was both willing and obedient. And because he was willing and he was obedient and they were working in harmony, the powerful plan of salvation is available for us today. However this works, whether he was looking down through eternity and seeing my needs, I don't know how this all works together, but I'm telling you that Jesus' willingness and obedience to his Father's wishes made the way. And there is nothing more powerful than that. So I want us to be inspired today that willingness and obedience will enable you to eat the good of the land. The land that you possess today. Whatever that land is, if you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, if you're a preteen, if you're a small child, if we're middle-aged, if we're older, whatever our age bracket is, if we are willing and obedient, when you put those two things together, something's going to happen. There's going to be joy. There's going to be blessing. There's going to be richness in life that won't happen if we're just willing and we fail to be obedient. Or if we're obedient because we're afraid somebody is going to come and take something away from us or do us harm, when we'll obey, but just because I don't want the other consequence. You know, there's a level of benefit or blessing to that. If I take care of some responsibilities and I'm obedient under duress, there's a limited amount of blessing to that. But willingness and obedience. I hope you get this. It's not like 2 plus 2. All right? Or 3 plus 3. It's like 3 raised to the power of 3. All right? It's an exponent. You know, 3 plus 3 is 6. But 3 to the 3rd power is 27. Right? So which one would you rather have? Rather have $6 or $27? I'd rather have $27. I don't have to stop and think about that. And which would we rather do? Just be obedient? Just barely get by? Just do the homework? Or how about doing the homework and the extra credit? You know, sometimes we might forget an assignment and we'd be thankful if we had the extra credit. I want to be willing and obedient. I want to eat the good of the land. I want to be blessed by the Lord. You pray for me.